you. John chapter number 19, please, this morning. What a great joy it is to be here. Good to be born again. I tell them around the Mount Carmel Baptist camp meeting, if you're smoking around here, you better be on fire. My mama, I love my mother. I love my mother. She's, I believe she's saved, but she just can't get rid of them Marlboros. And my mother come to me one time. She said, "I ain't quitting smoking. Preach against all you want to. I ain't quitting." She said, "You think smoking gonna send me to hell?" I said, "No, mother, it might not send you to hell, but it'll make you smell like you've been there." Amen. All right, so let's stand. Reverence to the reading of the King James Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Good to see you here. Good to see you. Amen. Try smiling. It won't break your face. If it does, we'll help you pick your pieces up and put it back together again. And I'll be the one with the super glue. Your face will be on upside down by the time I get done with it. Amen. John chapter 19. Amen. Let's pray for Jubilee this week. Bible said in verse number 38, "And after this," after what? After Calvary. Thank God. I'm glad Calvary will make a difference in your life like nothing else on the planet will. Water baptism ain't gonna change it. Church membership ain't gonna change it. But I'm glad one good old-fashioned trip to the old rugged cross, and you can be changed for time and eternity. I'm glad the cross of Calvary makes a difference. And take an old drunk, take a bottle out of his hand, put peace in his heart, and God saves lives in Calvary. Amen. That's not the message this morning, but it's a good one. Amen. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Now, just a side note right here. Amen. If you look at the embalming fluid that it takes for the average size human being to be embalmed with. Now, they didn't not embalm Christ. Amen. Amen. They just anointed his body. But the average weight is 24 pounds. And old Nicodemus is kind of like me. He's going to overkill on how much aloes and weights they need for the body of Christ. Amen. I like Nicodemus because he's like me. If you need a 2x4, I'm going to put a 2x10 on it. Amen. If you need a 6-cylinder, I want a V8. Up with about 1,000 horsepower on it. Say amen right there. And old Nick, he's coming here and he's got more than he needs. Amen. And I tell you, when you go to give something to God, you want to give it all you got. You ought not let up, and you ought to overkill every time you do it. Say amen right there. You can't do too much for God. You can't go too far for God. Amen. You young people, you need to give it all to God and pour it all out. Amen. Well, there's so much preaching here, I better read and you can sit down. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Let us pray. Father, as we bind your presence here today, I pray for the breath of God. I pray for the touch of God. I pray for the goodness of God. I pray every one of us that are born again, I pray you fill us with the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, you fill us with every attribute that a born again child of God can be filled with, of the love, the joy, the peace, of the meekness, the long suffering. Lord, I pray you breathe on Brother Ricky these days. I pray you lead him as he moderates the meeting. Every man of God preach with the power of God. I pray for every song to have the touch of God. I pray for every young person to get full of God. I pray for everybody that's lost, Lord, they'd get saved. I pray for the drawing power of God. I pray for a spirit of prayer on this place. I pray for a spirit of praise, a spirit of worship, a spirit of adoration, a spirit of glory, Lord, a spirit. Oh, Lord, they would exalt you and magnify you. I pray Holy Ghost, you'd come. I pray Jesus, you'd come. I pray the breath of God. Would you help us today as I try to expound a little bit on the Word of God? And I pray you'd help you people. In Jesus' name, I pray amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated this morning. I
I'm interested. Boy, there's so much in this text a man can preach on. And I've got to stay focused, because if I don't, I won't never get there. But brother, I'm interested in old Joseph of Arimathea. But there are several Josephs in the Word of God. But there are three prominent Josephs in the Bible. You've got Joseph of the Old Testament, the son of Jacob. You've got Joseph, the husband of Mary. Then you've got Joseph of Arimathea. Now, it is very interesting to me that Jesus started his earthly ministry out with a man by the name of Joseph. Amen. And now he's finishing his earthly ministry out with a man by the name of Joseph. He started his incarnation with a Joseph. He finished his salvation with a Joseph. And brother, amen, then you got Joseph of the Old Testament. Now let's study these three men. And let me preach on this simple subject for a while. On everybody needs a Joseph. If you ain't got a Joseph in your life, you're missing out. And everybody needs a Joseph. Well, let's hasten along through this. And don't even turn there, because I'm not going to turn there myself, all right? But if you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find a man by the name of Joseph. You'll find a man that's a type of Christ. You'll find a man, amen, that got demoted by his brethren. You'll find a man that got disrespected. Amen. You'll find a man that exalts Christ, that glorifies Christ, amen, as a type. He represents Christ with honor as a picture of Christ. He reflects Christ in his humanity and as a shadow of Christ. He reveals Christ in his humility. Beloved, I'm telling you, when you look at Joseph, you can see Jesus. And I wonder, when the world looks at us, would they say, I see Jesus in him, or I see Jesus in her? Beloved, we ought to be transparent. And when people see through us, they ought to see God. They ought to see heaven. They ought to see holiness. They ought to see righteousness. They ought to see God. Amen. And here we have Joseph. A brother, he is a great type of Christ. Amen. Joseph, amen, comes to his brethren one day, and they're jealous because, amen, his daddy loved him, and they stripped him of his coat of many colors, and then they throwed him in a pit. Now, their first plan was to have Joseph killed. Oh, but one of the brethren stood up and said, no, we can't do that. Let's just sell him into slavery. Now, you're going to get sold out by the brethren sometime in your life. Sometime they're going to stab you in the back. They're going to misuse you. They're going to abuse you. Amen. And when they sell you out, you've got to look at it through these eyes. Have not they sold me out? They'd have been putting me in a grave. Have not they sold me out? That'd have been the end of me. Amen. So when they sold him out, there's a sovereign God in heaven that came to where he was and saved his life. Amen. All right, boy, they sold him out. They disrespected him. They disrobed him. They discredited him. Amen. They have humiliated him. But yet, and this Joseph, and I forgot to mention it, amen, but we need was a faithful man. And brother, I'm telling you, yet Joseph remained faithful. Beloved young people, that's what you got to get in your heart, that you're going to stay faithful no matter what. Amen. No matter what the brethren say, no matter what the world does, you're going to remain faithful. Amen. And they take him and they sold him out. Yet Joseph remained faithful. And by the way, young people, when that crowd bought Joseph, amen, they bought his youth. And the world and the devil will pay a high price to get you in your youth. You better serve your Creator in the days of thy youth. Give God everything you got while you're young. Brother, I can't hide it, don't want to hide it. I still got a burden for you young people, and I'm not going to throw it away. I'm not going to give up on you. Hey, you better give it all to God. Some of you young men, you need to quit playing games and go ahead and surrender to preach and sell out. You young ladies ought to go ahead and give God everything you got. And don't you let the world take your youth. Amen. Yet Joseph remained faithful. Watch this, they take him, and he got separated from his family, separated from his mama, separated from his daddy. Yeah, but yet what? Oh, Joseph remained faithful. Have you ever seen somebody that went through it? Amen, but yet they remained faithful, like the Apostle Paul, when they stoned him outside of the city of Lystra, and they thought he was dead. And I could see old Peter clearing his throat, open up his Bible, fixing to preach Paul's funeral message. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If Paul wouldn't have ticked everybody off again, he'd still be with us. And about that time, Paul stood up and he said, wait a minute, I'm not done with my message. I ain't done. And he preached on for the glory of God. Amen. He said, I'm going to be faithful until the day I die. Hey, we didn't get in this for 10 years. We didn't get in it for 20 years. Hey, we got in it for the long run and the long haul. And a doubt through us part. Yet he remained faithful. He was set up by Potiphar's wife, yet he remained faithful. He got in there at Potiphar's house and she cast her eyes on him. Amen. Amen. She come to him. She'd say, lie with me, Joseph. She'd say, hey, the good man of the house is gone. Would you lie with me? My husband ain't here. And old Joseph, he said, nah, I ain't gonna do that. And Joseph couldn't do anything to keep her from wanting him, but she could do everything to keep her from having him. And old Joseph in action, he said, you may want me, honey, but you can't have me. Amen. And brother, I seen an old fella here the other day. He said, there's a lady tried to get him to commit adultery. I came after him. He just held his hand up and showed her his ring finger and said, ma'am, it won't come off. I'm staying faithful. Amen. Fornication's still a sin. Adultery's still a sin. Pornography's still a sin. Lust is still a sin. Hey, don't you, hey, nobody might not never found out. But I tell you, Joseph would have known about it. Amen. And God would have known about it, and the devil would have known about it, and that woman falsely accused him. But yet Joseph remained faithful. I'm going to tell you what Joseph could do. He could lay his head on his pillow at night and say, you know what? They falsely accused me. They've lied about me. They've mocked me. They've conspired against me. But I know in my heart, Jesus, you know in my heart, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Amen. And I guarantee you there's times that's the only way old Joseph could ever get through a night was knowing that he wasn't guilty. Yet he remained faithful. Amen. But then not only that, he got shut up in prison. But yet he remained faithful. And what was it in Joseph's life that kept him going, that kept him walking on, that kept him praying, that kept him testifying? What was it in Joseph's life that when he got in prison, there was two men that had dreams? He interpreted their dreams. What was it that Joseph would say, you know what, my dream ain't come true yet, but let me help you out with yours? What was it? Because there's a day way back yonder when God gave him a dream and God put some men him. And God said, these things are going to come to pass. And brother, it may not be happening for you right now, and your dreams might not be coming true, but would you do like Joseph did and remain faithful? Mr. Wright probably ain't come around just yet, probably because you're too young and you ain't got no business thinking about courting nobody or marrying nobody. Amen. But one day he's going to come around and you're going to know it, and your dreams are going to come true. One day that church is going to open for you, preacher, and your dreams are going to come true. One day them doors are going to open for you and them dreams are going to come true. Amen. Just stay with God. Don't quit. Don't stop. Amen. Stay with God. Everybody needs Joseph. Amen. Why? Because he was faithful. Do you have that faithful person in your life? That faithful preacher in your life? That faithful wife? That faithful husband? That faithful Joseph? You know what? I can't believe they're still going. I can't believe they're still walking on. I can't believe he's still preaching. I can't believe he's still praying. I can't believe you still got halfway of a good spirit. I can't believe he ain't done got mad and got an M16 and went and shot that whole crowd. Brother, but I'm telling you, I remember the first time I read this text. They told me, they said, you ought to read through your Bible every year. So you know what I did? I got my Bible up and I started to make sure I read through it every year. Amen. Well, hey, you want to get critical toward that? You can't be right with God and not have a good relationship with your King James Bible. Say amen right there. But I remember when I read this text for the first time, boy, there's old Joseph in that coat of many colors. I liked him the first word I read about him, but then I seen where they put him in the pit. I got mad. I seen where they sold him into slavery. I got mad. Oh boy, if I could have got me an airplane ticket, I'd have flew over to Israel and I'd have whooped every one of them boys. Amen. But I then realized there's already in heaven, so I said, well, I'll go whoop their descendants. Amen. Shame on every one of them. And brother Ricky, I tell you, boys, I got down there and I got to read that. life. And I've seen where Joseph got elevated and got excited. I've seen where he got promoted and got excited. And Brother Laddie, I seen. Amen. Well, them brethren came back and I really got excited. I said, all right, Joseph, it's payback time. Put them in jail. Cut their heads off. Hang them by their necks. Amen. Do to them, sell them to the Ishmaelites. Do to them, all right. And I was reading and looking for Joseph to really pay them back. You want to know why? Because that's our nature. Amen. One of the hardest verses that you'll ever learn to live is, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So I'm sitting there and I get excited. I took a lap around the house. Amen. I said, well, I better go finish, see what happens. And brother, I tell you, when Joseph finally exposed himself and revealed himself, and boy, and he fell on their neck and cried, the Holy Ghost smote my heart. And he said, you ain't right. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. Thank God for that faithful Joseph. Amen. That'll forgive you no matter what you did to him. Forgive you for no matter what you said to him. Oh, I told my daughter Elizabeth the other day. Now you know Liz, she's a blonde. Amen. Amen. So I know more need, and some of y'all are too, and I see you smiling, and we know who you are, all right? And brother, I said, hey, boy, she really got in on this Bible reading thing. Amen. She's been reading through her Bible every day. She'll come to me every day and say, she'll say, Daddy, where you at? And we're reading through the Bible together. What a blessing to read through your Bible with your children. Amen. And to pray with your children. And I told Liz the other day, I said, honey, I'm getting sick of watching people get used and abused. I said, I know folk that have paid a price for people. Amen. And those people don't appreciate that price. And they're rude. And they're disrespectful. And you children treat your parents like trash. And all they've done is try to get you to God. And you're rude and you're disrespectful. I said, honey, I'm getting tired of that. And old Elizabeth said, I'm telling you, it must have been God. She looked at me and said, well, Daddy, now you know what Jesus went through. Look at what all he did for us. And look at how we treat him. Look at what all he went through for us. And brother, when she said that, I said, that's what I needed to hear. Oh, thank God for Joseph. That'll forgive you no matter what. That won't hold your past over your head. That'll reconcile. That'll restore. I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus has never one time ever brought my past up to me. He has saved. He has forgiven. And he is forgotten. Dr. Larry Wells, preaching at the Pleasant View Baptist Camp Meeting, Taylor, South Carolina, 110 Old Rutherford Road, stood in the pulpit and gave the best definition for forgiveness I ever heard. He said, when you people forgive somebody, you are supposed to treat them like they never done it. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. How many of us have perfected that? I've been praying along down through, God smoke that guy's out. God rebuke him, reprove him. God speak to him. Let him see where he's wrong. Amen. God let me pray that for a long time. And then one day you're going to get in a secret place and go to pray. And the Holy Ghost says, enough about him. Enough about her. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about this bitterness you're talking to me about them in. Let's talk about that unforgiveness you got in your heart about them in. Let's talk about the fact that if something bad happened to them, you would rejoice. That you would gloat. That you would say, hey, I told you so. That's not Christ-like at all. When somebody comes to you and apologizes, and you look at them and you make a statement like this, hey, we forgive you, but if anybody ever asks in the future, we're going to tell them everything you ever did, and at the end of it, we will let them know that you apologize. You ain't King James. You ain't King James. You ain't King James. You ain't Christ-like. That's not King James Bible forgiveness. You, hey, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of the biggest problems I got. Hey, man, a modern-day religion is a lack of forgiveness. And a lack of repentance. Everybody needs a Joseph. Oh boy, well, I'd like to stay there for a while, but they didn't give me a time limit, so I'm gonna preach till midnight, okay? Should have gave me a time limit, amen. All I ain't gonna preach long. Amen. Oh, Joseph in his faithfulness. Now he's feeding everybody. Now he's got all the corn.
Now he's got all the places. Oh, if he wouldn't have stayed faithful, he'd have never been in that position, would he? If he wouldn't have stayed faithful, reconciliation would have never came. Restoration would have never came. Jacob would have never showed up in Egypt had he not stayed faithful. Amen. There is somebody in every dispute we have, every division we have. Somebody's going to have to stay faithful. And somebody's going to have to get the right spirit. And somebody's going to have to be like Joseph. I'm trying to tell you, everybody needs a Joseph. And we need more Josephs in the pulpit. We need more Josephs in the pew. I'm telling you right now, we need more Josephs in the home. Number two today, we would move on. And I'm not going to, that's probably the burden of my heart, but let me preach to you a little while. We'd move on back over to the New Testament. We'd come to Joseph number two. Hey, man, you've got the husband of Mary. I don't like to call him the father of Jesus because he wasn't the father of Jesus. Now, I do know that Mary referred to Joseph as his father, but he was not the father of Jesus. God the Father is the father of the Son, and that's it. He was not born of man. He was not conceived of man, born of a woman, not conceived of man, virgin born, incarnate, sinlessly perfect Son of God. But God chose a man by the name of Joseph, and God chose a woman by the name of Mary. How would you like to be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be the two people that get to give an account for bringing Jesus into this world? Amen. Now Mary, she brought him in, but Joseph, he helped raise him, and he helped take care of him, and he helped get him to where he needed to be. And when Jesus had submitted himself to the human body that he was in, he was a babe, and Brother Joseph protected him, and Joseph took care of him. And Joseph, how would you like to have been the man that was engaged and his fiance come to him and said, by the way, I'm expecting. Well, you're a virgin. How's that work out? I mean, we ain't married. It ain't mine. Oh, I know it ain't yours, Joseph. I tell you whose it is. Whose is it? It's God's. The power of the highest overshadowed me and put the seed in my womb. And now I'm having a baby. I don't know about you, but that'd have been a hard pill for me to swallow. That's right. I said, this is far-fetched. This can't be right. Oh, no, you're making all this up. But I'm telling you, God knew Joseph. A man was going to be a good man. He discreetly put her away privately. He on purpose decided to carry that reproach. And by the way, all three of these Josephs, they had a reproach that they had to bear, and they done it because they were doing it for Jesus. And brother, old Joseph put her away privately. Amen. But the first Joseph, he was faithful. But the second Joseph, he fulfilled everything God told him to do. Amen. This Joseph didn't rebel against God at all. He left out when God told him to leave out. He came back when God told him to come back. I mean, he 100% is going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat with everything that's recorded in the Bible and say, you know what? I did everything you told me to do. And Jesus is going to look at him and say, you done well. You were faithful. And brother, that's what we need, some Josephs that will simply do what God told you to do. Amen. Simply. Has anybody besides me ever struggled with the will of God? Anybody? I'll tell you, will of God ain't all that. We complicate it so many times. I had my brother-in-law come to me, my brother-in-law John. I was praying about marrying my bride. And I didn't know whether God wanted me to marry anybody or not. I thought I might be just grow old by myself and serve Jesus and let him have it all. And my brother-in-law came to me and said, John, you're so scared of missing the will of God, you won't do the will of God. Are we so scared of missing it that we won't do it? Are you sitting here on a Baptist pew saying 20 years ago, I wished I'd have done this and I'd have wished I'd have done that, and you're letting that plague your memory and you're letting that keep you from doing anything for God right now? You're letting that haunt you from some words you think you may have missed it in the past? You need to get over that mess, step out by faith, and do what God called you to do and do what God told you to do. This old Joseph, and by the way, and I'm not going to labor this, and I got the air knocked out of me when I seen this, and I said, I've got a nugget from God. I seen what I'm fixing to tell you. I said, man, I ain't never heard nobody preach that. Oh, I'm going to be careful who I tell that to. They're going to beat me to the pulpit with it. Amen. I got me a good old nugget. Do you know the only word the man ever said? Don't answer that, praise God, because you know it. Joseph is only recorded. And thank you for knocking the air out of me, my dear young preacher friend, Simpson. I called him and told him this. Oh, I preached that last year, Brother John. You better be telling the truth, praise God. The only word that Joseph ever said is recorded in the Bible is Jesus. And if I only had one word to say, that would be it. If I only had one word to give to the world, it'd be Jesus. If I only had one message, it'd be Jesus. Amen. Act like y'all ain't never heard that, because that's the first. I know I'm late to the party on this one, all right? But just act like you ain't never heard it, okay? Thank God for that name of Jesus. How would you like to stand before God and say, the only word we ever recorded you saying, Joseph, was Jesus? Amen. That'd be enough for me, wouldn't it? Yeah. That's enough to preach on. That's enough to shout about. That's enough to write about. That's enough to give the glory about. It's all about Him anyway. Thank God for Jesus. Oh, but then we come to Joseph number three. Don't everybody need a Joseph? Then we come to Joseph number three, Joseph of Arimathea. Oh, buddy. Oh, him and old Nicodemus. I like to call them the dynamic duo. One of the dynamic duos of Calvary. Oh, Joseph and Nicodemus. The Bible said, not many mighty, not many noble, not many rich. Isn't it amazing that God used that not many crowd to take his body off a cross? So Nicodemus and Joseph, boy, they was mighty and they was noble and they was rich. And God took that crowd we wouldn't have used. They wouldn't have been preaching a Jubilee this week, I promise you that. Well, I know they got a lot of money, but I think they're a little bit dry in their delivery. And old Nicodemus, he's still hanging out with them Pharisees. And amen. And but old Nick got saved. In John chapter number 3, he got saved. Amen. And but anyhow, we'll find that fight another day. And beloved, here's old Joseph and Nicodemus, the dynamic duo. And by the way, not only that, not many crowd got used at Calvary, amen, but those women are the only ones that seen the angels after the resurrection. There's not one man. Peter, James, and John, they didn't see no angels at the tomb. It was just the women. So there's the weaker vessel crowd that God was using at the old rugged cross. Brother, some of you women think you're so minute, you can't do nothing because you're a woman. I tell you what, you can't preach, you can't be a priest or be a prophet. Ain't been nothing like that in the Bible. I tell you what you can do. You can show up when God needs you. You can show up when God wants you. You can worship Him. You can praise Him. You can exalt Him. You can magnify Him. You can glorify Him. I got 5 minutes, I think, left on the time limit that I gave myself. Can't care if I run a rabbit. I ain't been preaching but 20 minutes. Come on now. And can I say a word to you ladies? I was preaching last night, and I seen something. That woman over there in Mark 14 that broke that alabaster box and poured that over his head, and the odor filled the house. Do you reckon that when Jesus 2 days later made it to Calvary, you reckon he still had that odor on him? Do you reckon when he stood before Pilate said, man, I don't know what you've been into, but you smell good. I wonder if Herod, you meet Jesus. Yeah, he didn't say a word to me, but man, he smelled awful good. And as we go to Calvary and we smell the fragrance of the broken rose of Sharon, how that God smote his only begotten son, amen, while we smell that fragrance of the Son of God is smelling the fragrance of a broken hearted woman that didn't care what nobody said, didn't care what nobody thought, and she worshiped anyhow. I'm going to take all the beans out of the pot this morning. Brother, I tell you, and you pray God used that wicker vessel crowd. And here goes old Joseph, and here goes Nicodemus. And there's much to be said, but let's just cut it out. These two are going to be the only two men on God's green earth that's ever going to stand before Jesus and receive reward for taking care of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. They took the body off the cross. They had to take the cross down, take the nails out, take a crown of thorns off. They had to deal with every bit of it. Yeah. Now, me and you ain't never going to get to touch. We might when we get to heaven. I don't know. But me and you right here while we're here on earth, we ain't never physically touched Jesus Christ in the flesh. But may I make a comparison to the body of Christ, the church? Buddy, when they took that body off the cross, that body had not had time to get cold yet, and they could still feel the heat of the body of Jesus. And you ought to be so close to your local church, your local Baptist church, that you can feel the heat of love and the heat of zeal and the heat of grace and the heat of forgiveness. God forbid we ever walk in our churches and feel unwelcome and feel like an outcast and feel like we don't belong. Amen. You ought to be so close to your church. You can feel the heat, boy, but then now, they just didn't yank that body off a cross. Well, they go with tenderness and care. They handled the body of Christ with care. God's been working in my heart about the last 7 months. He's changing me. Whatever he's doing, that's his business. But I'm looking at these congregations through a different set of eyes these days. I really am. Oh, look, we need to preach against everything coming and going. But you hear me and hear me well, every one of us better be careful how we handle it. The bride of Christ. You mess with my bride, I don't care. It's going to be on, buddy. And we ought to feel the same way about the bride of Christ. Handle it with care. Be tender with it. Love it. Be good to it. But then they had to beg the body. They were blessed with it. They were burdened with the body of Christ. Then they buried it. Everybody needs a Joseph. This third Joseph, he overcame his fears. And he stepped out. Phooey on this secret discipleship mess. We're not taught that. We're to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and you just don't walk in to a middle of Muslims, amen, and do something to get them to beat you up on purpose. At least take a shotgun and a Bible with you, okay? And for those that are going to exploit that 2-second clip, listen to the whole message, please. I'm so sick of that mess. Everybody needs a Joseph.